John chapter number 21. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. And I think we'll begin in verse number 1. Let's take some time to read the Bible. John chapter number 21 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then, as they were come to the land, they saw a coal of fires there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there was were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now notice, if you will, pay close attention to the next few verses. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter being grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This morning I'm going to preach on this subject, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to gather here today. And Lord, it's good to be, Lord, with other Christians. Yeah, I thank you for this wonderful oasis, this spiritual oasis in the middle of a barren world, Lord. And outside the walls of this place and away from this property as we go in our everyday life, there's not too many times we hear your name mentioned with any reverence at all. And Lord, there's not many times that we can hear the Bible uplifted or Christ uplifted or feel just good, the good warm handshake of a brother in Christ, and know, Lord, that we're in a place where we're loved. And I thank you that we have this church. We're very excited, Lord, what you're doing here. We're thankful for Children's Day. And, Lord, for the opportunity just to take a few moments in our morning service and to have our children come through and to see the miracle that you're performing and doing in this place. And I ask, God, that you'd please this morning bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The young people that you saw come through this morning are our young people that are from our nursery on up through sixth grade. And that was just sixth grade on down. We have a regular normal attendance, if we had that this morning in our teenage group, 7th through 12th grade, then we would have probably had another 40 or 45 young people that are not yet graduated from high school but would be what I call teenagers or part of the youth department and not really part of our children's ministries. Isn't that a blessing? And I wanted to share with you this morning and give you some encouragement from the Lord. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Say, Brother Jerry, do you bring children here so that they can learn? Oh, my goodness sakes, yes. But I think every single person that works with children will oftentimes tell you that they learn as much from the children as they teach to the children. I had to laugh. I've got this little collection of lists here that I was reading this week, and I'm going to share it with you. Things adults learn from kids. Things adults learn from kids. Let me give you some of them. Number one, there is no such thing as childproofing your house. That's something that children teach adults. Number two, a four-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. That's one of the things that kids teach adults. Number three, if you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing a Superman cape. That's one of the things that children will teach adults. The next one says it is strong enough, however, to spread paint on all four walls of a 20 by 20 foot room. Some of the things that adults learn from kids. The next one, when you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. So some things that you can learn from children. Next one, a magnifying glass can start a fire even on an overcast day. That's something adults can learn from children. Next, if you use a waterbed as home plate while wearing baseball shoes, it does not leak, it explodes. That's one of the things that, as an adult, you can learn from children. A king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 4 inches deep. That's something else you can learn from children. Here's another one. Legos will pass through the digestive tract of a four-year-old. Play-Doh and microwave should never be used in the same sentence. That's another thing that you learn from children. VCRs do not eject peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's something you can learn from children. See, who said they couldn't teach us things? See, garbage bags, this is something you can learn from your children. Garbage bags do not make good parachutes. Something else to learn from children. Always look in the oven before you turn it on. Plastic toys do not like ovens. The fire department is at least 15 minutes from your house. Things you can learn from your children. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. And cats can throw up twice their body weight when they're dizzy. So yes, we bring children in here to teach them, but I'm not sure that we don't learn as much or more from them as we try to teach them. I love this portion of Scripture. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Have you seen it before? I can remember the very first time the Holy Spirit highlighted the last three words in verse number 15 and caused me to see it. It wasn't in a message, it wasn't in a sermon, it was just in my morning devotions, and I was making my way through the Gospel of John and was tying up the chapter, last chapter of this book. And you see so many of the same things repeated in the dialogue between Jesus and the Apostle Peter, that disciple who at this point in his life, you know, there's no use whitewashing him. He was backslidden, he was away from the Lord. And Jesus had made a special trip to try to re-enlist him into the Lord's work. And Jesus asked the same question three times. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Peter gave the same answer three times. Yes, yes, yes. But the distinction, the difference is in the command that follows this, first of all, this question and then the answer. If you'll notice at the end of verse number 15, you see these three words, feed my lambs. Then at the end of verse number 16, he said this, feed my sheep. Then in the end of verse number 17, again, he said, feed my sheep. Now, I love the fact that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. If you're reading a King James Bible, you never have to for one second ever stop and pause and say, well, you know what, maybe that was just a mistake, because it's not a mistake. These are the very words of God, preserved by God Himself. He took that upon Himself as His responsibility to see to it that we had the very words of God. And the Bible here did not make a mistake in verse number 15. Instead, God is wanting to teach us something as Christians. You see, first and foremost, before He said twice to feed the sheep, He said first of all to feed the lambs. He said this, "Do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And then the very first command in this list of commands is this, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now, I went ahead to make sure and did a little Greek word study on this. The word sheep in verse number 16 and the word sheep in verse number 17 is the exact same word, and it means full-grown, mature, adult sheep. But the word that you find in the dictionary, the Greek dictionary, when you look at this word lambs, is the word lambkin. It's kind of a little sweet name or a cute name or a pet name for a baby sheep, a baby lamb. It means exactly what I would think it would mean and what you would think it would mean. And this is, if you'll let me say this, a child lamb or a child sheep. And isn't it interesting that one of the first things that Jesus said to this backslidden preacher when he was in the process of re-enlisting him to go out and work in the service of the King was this. I know, Peter, that you're going to preach Pentecost, and I know that you're going to pastor churches and help start churches, and I know you're going to go to see Cornelius and help introduce the gospel to the Gentiles, but listen to me, no matter where I send you or what I have you do, never forget this. Look for the children. Don't ignore the children. Don't walk past the children. When you're preparing your sermons, don't forget the children. When you're out soul winning, don't forget the children. When you're introducing the gospel to a family, I mean, be glad when mama gets saved and be glad when daddy gets saved, but don't forget the children. Hey, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Can I give you some thoughts on this morning? Let me give you some things here. Number one, we are commanded to feed or nurture children. Now, I'm talking about born-again Christians today and two born-again Christians. If you're saved here, we have received a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to feed or nurture children. We read in what we know as Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, some familiar words to children where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth." We often quote those two verses and try to encourage the children, young people, look up here and listen to me. Let me say it again as your pastor. Those verses are for you. God's given you a mommy and a daddy. And God didn't make a mistake by what family He put you in. And God told you as children that you're to obey your parents. You're to honor your mother. You're to honor your father. Listen, I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the other kids at school do. I don't care if they talk down mom and dad and talk down their parents. I don't care if they make fun of their parents or rebel against their parents. You obey God. And you obey mama. And you obey daddy. And you honor them and cherish them and thank God for them every single day of their lives. But oftentimes we stop after we've read these few verses and we fail to go ahead and read verse 4 where it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." What did Jesus say? Well, He put it this way, "Feed my lambs." Mamas, feed my lambs. Daddies, feed my lambs. Sunday school teachers, feed my lambs. Master's Club workers, feed my lambs. Nursery workers, feed my lambs. Primary church workers, feed my lambs. Children's church workers, feed my lambs. Junior church workers, feed my lambs. Christian school teachers, feed my lambs. Monitors, feed my lambs. Pastor Jerry Ross, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Now we are commanded, commanded to nurture children. You know, Peter, as I've already explained to you, was away from God when God was teaching him these things, when Christ was talking to him. In this chapter is recorded Peter's backsliding. Could I just go ahead and say this? One of the best ways to figure out whether or not you're as close to God as you ought to be is how you treat children. Are you listening to me? And I think also a good scale or a good test to how right a church is with God is how they treat children. You see, God says we're to be in the business of nurturing children. You see, a Christian in a church backslides when it fails to feed the lambs. Have you ever been visiting on vacation, or maybe you've gone at some point in time with one of your other family members to visit a church, and you walk into a church and you look around, and thank God, by the way, for our senior saints. But you walk into a church and all you see is senior saints. You know what? You've just walked into a dying church. I many times on visitation will have people say, I know about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I see your children's ministries. Oh, I wish our church had children. They begin to tell me how the church only has older people. And again, thank God for our senior saints. But folks, listen to me. A church that doesn't have children is a dying church. I mean, I'll deal every once in a while with a little gum in the rug. I don't like it, but I'll deal with it. I'll deal with the bathrooms being messed up a little bit. I'll deal with the mud being tracked in a little bit. Just give me children. Amen. Give me children. I'll deal every once in a while with sticky fingers or a runny nose. But folks, let me tell you something. The day we don't have those things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this church is dying. Right. It's dying, you see. A Christian in a church backslides when it fails to feed the children or to take care of feeding the lamb. What does it mean to nurture, Brother Jerry? It means to provide what is needed for a child to develop into a healthy, balanced, godly adult. Boy, we could spend a lot of time here this morning. Do you know what? The lambs need love. Daddy, the lambs need love. Mamas, the lambs need love. Yes, they do. See, I thought you meant feed the sheep, Brother Jerry. I thought this was just talking about going out and working hard and giving the money so mama can buy groceries. Well, you know what? That will sustain their physical body, but they have a soul and they have a spirit and they need love. Blessed is the child who knows that daddy loves him. Blessed is the child that knows that mama loves him. Children need nurturing. What do they need? They need acceptance. You know what? Sometimes we ought to get in a little mental time machine and go back and revisit the age of our children. Oftentimes we almost have unrealistic expectations. Now stay with me here. You know a 9-year-old's not going to think like a 45-year-old? You know a 12-year-old's not going to think like a 35-year-old? You know, sometimes they just need to be accepted for who they are and where they are and what they are at that time in their life, and to know that you love them even though maybe they're not polished and they're not taught and they don't have everything in figured out. And by the way, how many do you have everything figured out yet? I mean, if we struggle as adults, don't you think that maybe sometimes they're going to struggle? Listen to me, I'm not talking about ignoring those things, but I am telling you folks that I think sometimes we have a little bit too much trouble with our children in separating the sin from the sinner. We get mad at what they do, and then we get mad at the one who done it, and sometimes one of the best things you can do is learn to separate the action from the child. I mean, doesn't God hate sin, but doesn't God love sinners? Get mad at what they do, but listen to me, love them. Get mad at what they say if it's the wrong thing, but love them and accept them and understand they're where they're at. Children need encouragement. I believe this with all my heart. A child will go a lot farther to learning and adapting and becoming what they ought to be when the voice is a voice of encouragement than it is when it is a voice putting them down and calling them names and belittling them and making fun of them. I'm telling you, folks, that's not the way to get a child to learn much of anything. See, in the process of trying to teach and train them, if you're belittling them, they're not listening to what you're teaching and training. All they're thinking about is how worthless they are And because of that, they continue to fail. Are you listening to me? Nurture the children. Children need discipline. I'm going to take a minute to talk about this and say just a few words about this. Having talked about love and acceptance and encouragement, protection and security and all these things, can I say this to this generation that's now rearing your children? The book of Proverbs is still firmly in the Bible. And God knows that we need a generation that will get back to old-fashioned discipline in raising the children. I don't care what Dr. Spock says. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I don't care what Dr. Oprah says. I watched Oprah Winfrey one time on a rerun on a segment she did on children and child rearing, and she looked right into the camera and leaned on the edge of her seat and pointed to the audience, millions of people watching her, and said, "Let me tell you something. How dare you tell me that you love your children? If you spank them, you don't love your children." But I'm telling you right now that the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that if you don't discipline them, and if you don't spank them when they need it, then you do not love them. Don't let this world and its humanistic philosophies put you on a guilt trip. Children need discipline. Young men, you do. You need discipline. You need to learn to listen when your mom and dad's telling you something. You need to learn what the word no means and what the word yes means and how to set up in class and listen to the teacher. You need those things, you see. And so we're commanded to nurture our children. Children have needs. Children need the Word of God. I'm so excited this morning to see that. I mean, the greatest thing is not watching all the children. The greatest thing is where they're at as the parade's going by. Folks, you could have gone to Main Street in Jacksonville yesterday and driven or walked up and down it, and you'd have seen a lot of children gathered at a parade. And, you know, I'm not against those things, but I'm telling you, it's not hard to get children in a group. It's just hard to get them in a group in the right place. Thank God for you parents. Set the alarm clock on Sunday morning when sometimes you don't feel like it. Thank God for you men. Work third shift sometimes. Work all night. But you know what? You get home. You catch a quick cat snap. Then you get up and you say, "Wife, children, let's get in our Sunday best. You know why? Let's get our Bibles. You know why? We're going to Sunday school." I don't think there's much of anything wrong with this country that couldn't be fixed if a generation of parents would just decide to get their children back to Sunday school, get them back to morning preaching, get them to evening preaching, get them to Wednesday, get them involved in master's clubs and the youth group. I don't think there's much wrong that couldn't be fixed if we could get our children back underneath the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Are you listening to me? You say, "I take good care of my children. I nurture my children. I provide their needs. I pay the bills. I buy groceries." I hear a world defending the fact that they don't take their children to church. But let me tell you something. They're starving them spiritually. Have you been in this situation? I'm talking about Blessed Hope Baptist Church members that go out and visit children and work bus routes and work Sunday school. Have you ever been in this situation? Mama comes to the door. "Hey, wanted to stop by and see whether or not the children are coming to church tomorrow." "I don't know. Let me ask them." "Ah! I just want to lose it right there. I don't know. Let me ask them." I told a parent here recently that did that very thing. I said, "What do you mean, let me ask them?" "Well, let me just tell you, I don't make my children go to church. I let them choose." I said, "Let me ask you this. On Monday morning, do you let them choose whether or not they go to school? When they're sick, do you let them choose whether or not they go to a doctor? You let them choose whether or not they eat. You let them choose whether or not they go to bed. How come we're worried about them physically and we're worried about them academically, but we don't give a rip about them spiritually?" Folks, let me say this, and I hope you understand this. I'm all for feeding children properly and taking care of children properly and see that they get their rest and see that they get their sleep. But let me tell you something. If you do all that and neglect to get the Word of God into their hearts, you're going to raise a hellion. You're going to raise somebody that's going to disappoint God and disappoint you. Are you listening to me? The children need to be nurtured. We are, number one, commanded to nurture children. Let me give you a second thing. I love this. Number two, Jesus sees children as his personal possession. Jesus sees children as his personal possession. Did you notice in the statement there he says, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. I know why we answer the way we answer, and it's okay. Somebody will say, how many children do you have? How many of these are yours? And the honest truth is, if we had a moment of sanity right then and wanted to answer very biblically, we would say none of them. Are you listening to me, parents? You see, children are gifted to us by Almighty God, are lent to us by God. Every child is His. He may have allowed you the opportunity to rear some of His children for Him, but they're not yours, they're His. Jesus sees children as His personal possession. He says, feed my lambs. You say, Brother Jared, do you have a Bible verse on that? Yes, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. See, those children in my home and in your home are a heritage from Almighty God. I wouldn't have them if it wasn't for Him, and you wouldn't have yours if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, for Almighty God and His mercy, you see. Jesus gives a parent children and said, now you raise them for me. He trusts you with some of His children. Listen, it's not about me raising my children in my image or wanting my children to be like me. It's about me raising my children to want to serve God and to be like Him and to love the Lord with all their heart. I need to hit a reset button here. Brother Jerry, I'm scared to death that God's going to call one of my children to the mission field. Let me help you with that. Honestly, let me help you with that. Decide that they're not yours, they're His. Decide they're not yours, they're His. You see, if I send my child off to Bible college, they'll meet somebody and marry somebody from Topeka, Kansas. They'll move out there and I'll never see them again. They're not yours. They're His. My job is, and your job is, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and every single day say, Lord, you take and do with them what you want to do with them. Not my will, but thine be done. You see, are you listening to me? Jesus sees children as His personal possession. He said, feed my children. Hey, mama, feed Jesus' children this week. Take care of Jesus' children this week. Daddy, discipline Jesus' children this week. Okay? Take Jesus' children hunting this week, amen? I just wanted to get that in there, you know. Spend some time with Jesus' children. Go out and throw a ball with Jesus' children. You might want to read to his children a little bit about Him this week. You might want to talk to His children a little bit about Him this week. You might want to tell them how much He loved them. You might want to tell them that He died on the cross for them. You might want to tell them that He's got a great plan for their life. You might want to get on your knees and talk together with them to the one that lent them to you. Are you listening to me? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Jesus sees children as His personal possession. Jesus gifts us children to raise for Him. Can I say this, because I want to be a comfort to some of you this morning? Say, Jesus sees children as His personal possession. Oh, yes, He does. Can I give you this? Jesus takes to heaven all children who die or pass away before they reach the age of accountability. Now, for some of you, this is a brand new thing, and others of you, this is just review. Let me encourage your hearts. You see, Jesus, when He gave His children, He understands that they have to get to a certain age before they can understand the simple principles and concepts found in the Bible on how to be saved. Brother Jerry, what's the age of accountability? Well, there's not a certain age. What it is, it may be different in every child's life, but until a child gets to the point where they can understand what sin is, truly understand the consequences of sin, understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and have a chance to accept Him as their personal Savior, listen to me, if they don't have the wherewithal, the mental process, the mental ability to process all of that, then you know what? If something happens to them prior to that, they're in heaven with Jesus. And why are you taking time to say this? There got to be a movement back in the 80s where some preachers going around preaching and saying that children that were born before the age of accountability, died before the age of accountability, didn't go to heaven. Let me tell you, that's blasphemous and it's unbiblical. Say, how do you know this, Brother Jerry? Well, I'm not going to have you turn there, but let me just read this to you. David, back in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, lost a little baby. The baby was born, it became very sick, and then it passed away. And for the whole time that the baby was sick, David refused to eat, and he fasted, and he prayed. And he asked God to be merciful to his child. But it was God's will that that child be taken on to heaven. And at the end of that time, the servants of David were scared to go in and tell him the fact that his baby had passed away. They said, if he wouldn't eat before it died, what's he going to do after it dies? If he was in mourning almost to death before, how will he act afterwards? And David wasn't a dummy. He saw them whispering and talking, and finally he said, the child's dead, isn't he? The child's dead. And they said, yes, the child's passed away. And the Bible says David did an unusual thing here. It says that David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he didn't eat. This same guy that wouldn't eat before, wouldn't wash before, wouldn't go to God's house before. Verse 21, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, and when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Now notice this last statement. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know what? David leaned back into a promise from Almighty God, and that's this. That baby wasn't at the age of accountability. That baby's up in heaven. And one of these days he said, I can go see him. When I die, I'm going to go see him. But you know what? I can't bring him back. So you know what he did? He washed himself. He changed his clothes. He got back to this business of living. You know why? Because he knew that that child was in God's hands, and it was in good hands. All over this room there's different ladies. And I'm not trying to bring up things that are hurtful in your heart and mind, memories that are hurtful in your heart and mind. But maybe you had a miscarriage, or maybe you had a child that's passed away. They never reached that age of accountability. Let me tell you something. They're in heaven, and you'll get to see them one of these days. You know why? Because Jesus said this, feed my lambs. They're mine. You know, Jesus protects children by providing them guardian angels. Some of the parents are smiling out there. You've got a picture of your child's guardian angel. It's gray head, and it's gray-headed, and it shakes a lot. It's got a full-time job. They may even work in shifts on your child because any one angel can handle it. Has everybody got that one child like that? It just seems like, you know what? You say stop, they think you said go, and you say go, they think you said stop. You know, they're the one tying themselves to the fan blades and trying to be Superman, using the plastic garbage bag as a parachute jumping off the garage. I mean, you just almost live in terror of them screaming and running in, and like my blessed mom did all through our growing up years. I mean, it just got to be old hat to grab up the kid, throw him in the station wagon, and race the emergency room. It was always somebody doing something. Say, Brother Jerry, is that just a tale, or is that in the Bible? Well, Matthew 18:10 says this, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Did you get that? For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Yep, Jesus sees children as a personal possession. Can I give you something else to think about? You know, Jesus sternly warns those who would cause a child harm. I know Brother Jerry says this every once in a while, but it needs to be said in this sick day and age that we live in. There's something I call millstone justice. I wish we'd get back to a little bit of it in America. Matthew 18:1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Did you get that? He said, "Who's the greatest, Jesus? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus said, "Where's the little child? Bring me that toddler. Bring that toddler over here." And said, "There you go. You asked a question, there's an answer." That's how Jesus views it, you see. He said this, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Well, that's good. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depths of the sea." My heart broke like your heart broke if you read a paper or watched the news this week. How can somebody walk into a school and shoot children? What in the world's wrong with us? What's happened to society? How in the world did we get to where we're at? We're on the January 22nd of this year will be the 34th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and over 47 million babies and counting have been killed in the safest of safe places in their mother's womb. What's happened? What's happened? I can't do it. I want to, and I can't do it. Brother Reiser brought me a videotape. It was a message preached by a preacher. If I called his name, you'd know it. And he's preaching to a bunch of young people. And during the course of that message, he had flashed up on a screen the bodies of aborted babies. And what had happened is somebody got to a dumpster somewhere. Are you listening to me? And pulled out trash bags that were filled with the results of demonic work by somebody that wore a white coat and had a black heart. I'm going to tell you something. I sat there and watched every second of it, and I don't think I'll ever get it out of my mind. It's part of me that says, "Brother Jerry, show it to them." Pro-choice. Isn't it amazing how we've sterilized everything? I mean, folks, some of these babies that I seen in that video wasn't that much different from someone that was just carried right across in front of me. Are you listening to me? I don't know who's here, and I'm not trying to cause anybody any hurt, but I hope some young ladies will listen to me. I don't care what the circumstances of your life is. It's wrong to have an abortion. Amen. It's wrong to have an abortion. What in the world's happened to a country? What's happened to the soul of a country that can legalize that type of activity? You see, are you thinking with me? Jesus was for the children. Jesus stood by the children. I can hardly read the paper, folks. Pedophiles. Men and women that want to prey on children. Want to hurt children, molest children. Still the innocence of children. What in the world's wrong with those? We watched a little bit of it. I can't watch it. We watched a little bit of it. Dateline NBC. Get on the internet. Have some adult type in and pose as if they were an 11 or 12 or 13-year-old child. And they can't control the masses of cars that start pulling up to this address to go in there when they think that they have an opportunity to hurt some little girl. Had gone on the internet and been foolish. And they've done this, I guess, from what I read, they've done this a number of times. And you know what? They could do a weekly series on it and never run out. What in the world's wrong with America? These are our children. They're our children. Are you listening to me? They're not just our children. They're Jesus' children. "Feed my lambs," he said. "Feed my lambs." Let me give you something else to think about. Nurturing children is proof of our love for Jesus. Brother Jerry, I love Jesus. Well, Jesus asked Peter a question, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord, thou know that I love thee. Isn't it interesting? He saith to them, feed my lambs. Could I be fair with this scripture? And I'm not doing a disjustice to it at all. He was saying this, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. He's saying, prove it. Prove it. You see, if you love Jesus, then you're going to spend some time nurturing children. If you love Jesus, you're going to spend time feeding children. If you love Jesus, you're going to spend time teaching the Bible to children. If you love Jesus, then your children are not an inconvenience. They're one of the most important things in all of your life. You see, I love this. Can I read some verses to you? Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. And you know what? Every kind thing that you ever do to a child, Jesus takes and puts it on your record as if you did that very thing for him. Now you think about this week. You know, you encourage a child, you've encouraged Jesus. You uplift a child, you've uplifted Christ. You help a child, you've helped Jesus. Jesus said, when I watch you do it to children, I just put it on your record like you did it to me. I love this church. I love this church. I love the fact that God has given us, I think, uniquely, in a unique way, a heart for children. Now, I'm not going to stand here for one second and be so proud and pompous as to suggest that we're the only church in the area that loves children. That would be foolish and it'd be wrong. But you know what? I hear a lot of talk about helping and reaching the next generation, but I just don't see many churches willing to put their money where their mouth is. I mean, let them bring before the business meeting the need to buy a van to start a children's route, and you'll have a 30-minute discussion why there just isn't, it isn't the time for that. They don't have the finances for that. That's not wise right now. But a month later, vote to pad the pews. Or asphalt the parking lot. And all of a sudden it's something that brings them a little comfort and makes them have something a little nicer. And well, you know what? Maybe we can find the money for that. See. I told you this one time. I had a guy attended the church here for a while, and him and his wife didn't stay. They started going to a liberal church. Somebody in this church won them to Christ. I baptized them right there in the baptistry. But you know what? After a little while, they got invited by someone to a liberal church, and the guy sat in his living room when I went to see him and said, well, Pastor Ross, you got to understand this new church. You guys got to start thinking. This new church has... they paved their parking lot. You really ought to think about paving your parking lot. He said they've got a cool screen that comes down during the song service, a little bouncy ball that follows the words. You don't even have to pick up a song book and find a number. Wow. That's a good reason to change churches. You know what? I'd rather have gravel out there and a bunch of red and white buses. Amen. Than a paved parking lot and no church buses. Amen. I'm not against paving the parking lot. I'd love to pave the parking lot. Some of you ladies try to walk across that in high heels are out there thinking, yes, amen. And I mean that. I'd love to. I think some of our older folks, it's hard on them. I mean that. But let me tell you something. If it comes down to a choice between a new church bus and a paved parking lot, I can tell you where I'm voting. We've gotten so spoiled anyway. Goodness sakes alive. How did Peter Cartwright have all those revivals in the olden days without paved parking lots? You think gravel's bad in the parking lot? You ought to have in the parking lot what he had in the parking lot during his revival meetings. I'm going to stop right there, amen. Usually I don't, but I am. You thinking? What are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying, you know what? Let's feed the lambs. Nurturing children is priority one in Jesus' eyes. Verse 15, 16, and 17. He says what? What did he say first? Feed my lambs. Then he said, feed my sheep. Then he said, feed my sheep. You know what? The order is there on purpose. Priority one. You know what he says, church? Take care of the children. You know what I think Jesus says? Take care of the children, I'll take care of you. Reach the next generation, I'll take care of you. Listen, spend money. Get the ministry started. Keep the master's clubs going. Keep the buses going. Keep the children's church going. Keep the van routes going. Keep knocking. Listen, just do that. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. You see that, folks? Look around here this morning. God's taking care of us. He's filled this place up. And I think one of the reasons he does is because this place has a heart for children. People that have a heart for children. I love this. In Mark 10, it says this, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. You know what? I'm done. But let me say this. I don't know how many times. I don't keep count on these type of things. Hundreds and hundreds of times in my life, I've had the opportunity to kneel down beside a child, open my Bible or my New Testament, explain to them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I like to hear anybody pray when they're receiving Jesus, but there's something special about listening to a child pray. You know why? Because you know what? They pray with a purity of faith that is unbelievable. I don't know how many times in the past 10 years or so I've got to get ready in my... Everybody always says, as one of our girls said last week when I went to the baptistry, one of the girls around them said, look, Brother Jerry just goes right in the baptistry with his clothes on. Well, I do have my clothes on, but I also have waders. I mean, I, you know, am dedicated, but I'm not that dedicated, you know. Go in there and take a little child and baptize him like I got to little Tory last week. Woo! Isn't that good? Baptize children, win children. How many of you bus workers, how many time on the back seat of a bus or the back half of a bus where the bus is bouncing down a gravel road somewhere and a little girl, a little boy comes up to you and pulls on your coat or your jacket and says, Miss Tina or Brother Bo or Brother John or Brother Abel, I want to be saved. How can I be saved? You sit down there in the seat and open the Bible and tell them about Jesus. Brother Jerry, why do you have Missionary Hall back there? Feed my lambs. Children just don't live in America. They live all over the world. Feed my lambs. Well, I just watched Brother Luke's new presentation. Where's the town? I just watched Brother Luke's new presentation. Can I tell you something? You can tell he's a Blessed Hope boy. You show pictures of his church and his outdoor meetings and their open-air VBSs. And you know what? You see him reaching children. Children. Every once in a while you'll get some, I'm trying to be nice, some idiot. I didn't succeed, did I? That'll watch a missionary's presentation or read his letter and then say, well, all he's doing is reaching kids, it sounds like to me. All he's doing is reaching children. We've got a weird way of looking at things. Someone will say, I'll say to somebody, you know, we had four saved last week, and immediately, well, how many of them were kids? You know, because kids don't really count. D.L. Moody said, I went out and saw 1.5 people saved today, and they said, oh, you saw one adult and a child. He said, no, I saw a child and an adult. You win an adult to Christ, you win about half a life. You win a child to Christ, you win a whole life. How many of you, and we're not going to have you raise your hands, I wouldn't embarrass you, but how many of you got saved in your middle years or after you were an adult and you'd said, man, I wish somebody would have got the gospel to me when I was a child. There have been so many things I wouldn't have had to go through, so many dumb mistakes and so many things I probably wouldn't have done. Hey, I don't know about you, Blessed Hope, but I think we ought to just keep after children. Feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Before we pray, let me say this. You may be here this morning. You've never received Jesus as your Savior. Now, let me ask you this question, because it's a fair question. It's a Bible question. If you were to die right now, what would happen? What about eternity? Would you go to heaven? Do you know that for sure? Well, I don't know that. I don't know what would happen. Would you like to know? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose again the third day. He did it to pay for your sins. Every single one of us is a sinner. We all fall short of the glory of God, the perfection of God, the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ wants to save you today. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Is there anybody here this morning? Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's an adult. Is there anybody here this morning? Say, Brother Jerry, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen. Know what would happen. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. But God's speaking to my heart this morning, and I know that I need to take care of this. I'm concerned about it. By the way, no one's looking around. I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't come down and get you during the invitation. I will just pray for you. Anybody here say, Brother Jerry, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I don't think I'm saved. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you put your hand up? I see that hand back there. Is there somebody else? Put your hand up good and high so I can see it. Is there somebody else? I don't know what would happen if I was to die right now. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Anybody like that? Seen one hand? See another hand back here. Anyone else? Just a minute, we're going to pray. I see your hand. God bless you, buddy. Just a minute, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. I'm going to ask you, if you just raised your hand and said, I'm not sure that I'm saved, I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you leave your pew and come to the nearest aisle, walk up here, and let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved? Would you do that? Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to hearts in a powerful way. Save that one, that two, that three this morning may be here without Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.